This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, children are born innocent, regardless of their relationship to extremist fighters from the terrorist group known as ISIL or Daesh, and they should be treated with kindness and love. That's one of the key points emphasised by religious leaders in the Iraqi capital Baghdad on Monday in an unprecedented joint declaration calling for justice on behalf of victims of the terrorist group, which once controlled large parts of Iraq and Syria. The document denounces the ideology of Daesh as completely contrary to the fundamental values of humanity, and it's been endorsed by the UN Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide, Adama Dieng, during a visit to the country. Karim Khan, Special Advisor and Head of the United Nations Investigative Team to Promote Accountability for Crimes Committed by Daesh in Iraq, known as UNITAD, spoke to UN News' Mai Yacoub.
It's important on a number of grounds, but essentially for a country to recover, for justice to be achieved, commonalities as opposed to differences need to be emphasised. Sometimes we need to focus on what unites us rather than what divides us. This interfaith statement represents the common ground around which the main religious groups in Iraq, at least the Shia, the Sunni, the Catholics and the Yazidis, could coalesce around and with one unequivocal voice say that justice is essential for the victims and that victims have to be and survivors have to be respected and accountability is an essential prerequisite to stability.
What are the main points of the statement and what does it call for?
The main points really are in very, I think, clear, concise paragraphs that all religions, all faith renounce and denounce the ideology of Daesh as utterly repugnant to the core religious teachings that their faith represent. That's, I think, a very important coming together between the different religions, that they, under all of their faith, they reject the Daesh ideology as completely contrary not only to their faith, but to the fundamental values of humanity. Secondly, it emphasizes that survivors must be respected and also supported so that they can carry on with their life despite the scars that they carry and the trauma that has been incurred. Thirdly, it emphasizes that even in the midst of the criminality of Daesh, there are examples of heroism that must be applauded, in which different individuals from different religious communities have, at great risk to themselves, protected and stood up for members of other religious groups. I think in a very enlightened and necessary paragraph, the suffering of all victims, but particularly victims of sexual and gender-based violence, has been acknowledged. And it is underlined that stigma should not attach to these survivors at all, but rather stigmatization should attach to the perpetrators of those heinous acts. In the unique situation of Iraq, it was also important to recognize children. And all the religious leaders coalesced around a principle that children are born innocent, and regardless of how they came about or how they were impacted by Daesh, it's a basic minimum requirement of international law that they be treated with kindness and love, and all the religious leaders have emphasized that. The importance of return of displaced communities that were forced to flee is also underlined, and I think a very positive step is that these major faith leaders, Cardinal Sacco of the Catholic Church, Baba Sheikh of the Yazidi community, senior members of the Sunni Council in Iraq, and also senior sheikhs and ayatollahs of the Shia community, have also underlined that their confidence in UNITAD and the mandate of UNITAD to do justice. I think that's also an important aspect of the interfaith statement. Mm-hmm. Finally, it acknowledges that stamina is needed, patience is needed, because to achieve justice, tolerance and reconciliation and forgiveness is something that won't be achieved overnight. It requires this unity of purpose and this stamina and perseverance to go through difficulties so that hopefully there is an improved situation in Iraq for all individuals in the days ahead.
I'm sure a lot of work has been done to reach this point. Could you please share with our audience how did UNITAD help in preparing for this momentum?
Well, last year we went to the, met with all the religious leaders, and that was the first, one of my first acts when I was appointed as head of the investigative team. Early last year I had the honor of meeting the Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Sistani and Cardinal Sacco and Babur Sheikh and the Sunni Council. And since then, of course, I've reached out to other religious communities as well. But things have really moved forward this year, because we've also been significantly assisted with the moral authority and the work of His Excellency Adama Dieng as the special advisor on the prevention of genocide. So it's quite useful to give life to the Secretary General's constant, admonition of one UN, that we went around together as two separate mandate holders, speaking with one voice on an issue that the Secretary General himself has given quite a lot of attention to and has prioritized, to make sure we manage to engage effectively with these religious heads, and so that we manage to get an endorsement for the first time by these main religious leaders in Iraq over a common message relating to the crimes of Daesh. And it was really a joint effort with the religious leaders in Iraq. They are to be commended. And I think we're very lucky as the United Nations that we managed and we had the opportunity of playing a role, however small, in facilitating that important event.
How would you follow up on that? In other words, what are the next steps?
I emphasized in my various meetings, and so did Undersecretary General Adama Dieng, that this statement, historic though it is, in the words of Sheikh Karbali, is a floor. It represents a floor of rights, not a ceiling. And already, as is intimated in the statement, we have made it clear to other religious groups, whether it's the Orthodox Church or the Kakais, that it remains open to signatory. Others can sign it. It's not a closed document. There's a rich mosaic of religious traditions in Iraq, and we want this to be the common ground in which all of them, joined together by their shared humanity, can come together and with one voice, which should resonate wider than Iraq, say that we require justice and we reject a false, pernicious ideology that was espoused in the name of a religion whose name is peace. And I think what we intend to do in due course is to hopefully have a second wave of signatures. I've already, with His Excellency Adama Dieng, had quite some discussions with some of the religious communities, and we're hoping to push that forward in the period ahead. But, of course, none of this can be viewed in abstract. It is the government of Iraq is our prime interlocutor in terms of responsibility for the laws that we can utilize and feed into to prosecute the crimes of Daesh as genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. We need to build confidence with the victim communities, whether they are Christian, Yazidi, Kakai, Shabak, Turkmen, regardless of their ethnicity, whether Kurd or Arab. And ultimately, what it emphasizes is no person is an island. No person can be a spectator. When crimes of this scale and of this nature, which have torn the soul of humanity apart, are committed, every individual, every community, however populous or however small a minority, have an important role to have their voice heard in the collective demand for justice. And I think that requires all avenues to be used. Within my mandate, it's investigations, it's building cases, it's outreach, and putting survivors at the center, not at the periphery of our work, to make sure minority crimes against women and men, regardless of orientation or gender, crimes against children are properly prioritized. Under the mandate of His Excellency Adama Dieng, of course, is prevention of genocide. Other parts of the UN, of course, have their own mandates, and we need to work, as the Secretary General has eloquently and repeatedly emphasized, as one UN, to try to be servants of humanity and the people of Iraq so that tomorrow is better than yesterday.
Last word is for you, Mr. Karim Khan. What is your message to the community in Iraq?
My message is the road is going to be long. And whilst they have shown great patience already, great stamina, which I applaud, in surviving Daesh, I have told some of these communities, like the Yazidis and the Christians, they are walking examples of the defeat of the Daesh ideology, their existence, their every breath, is a repudiation of everything that Daesh may sought to have achieved. But we need to come together, and that's my message. It requires patience because the legal process is not straightforward. We need laws. We need fair trials. We need evidence from witnesses. We need all communities to have trust with us, to speak to us. But we also need to, you know, ever closer cooperation with the government of Iraq and third states so that the massive amount of information that was generated by Daesh and that has also been collected can be properly analyzed and be part of criminal investigations so that individuals can be held responsible for crimes in fair trials, as opposed to notions of collective guilt, which leads to exclusion, which leads to vacuums, which are filled by the same toxicity that Daesh exploited in the first place. And I think that's really my message. A lot of work to be done. It can't be done by any one individual, any one religion, any one part of the UN. It requires a collective effort that engages all of us, the United Nations, government of Iraq, civil society, victims and survivors. And as I said, with crimes of this magnitude, crimes within our jurisdiction, genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, no man, woman or child even can be a spectator.